I'd ask you to please turn with me this evening to the passage of Scripture we read together just now in the Gospel of John in chapter 10, and the message this evening will be based on verse 11. The Gospel of John in chapter 10 and verse 11, and that is page 1235. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And the subject before us this evening is Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Now, why is Jesus good? When Jesus was here upon earth, there was a man that came to him with a very important question about his own soul's condition. And he addressed Jesus as good teacher. And the Lord Jesus gave him what we might thought rather an abrupt answer. Yet the answer Jesus gave to him initially was very profound. Jesus said, when he said to him, he came to Jesus and he said, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, that is Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. Jesus is telling this man that if he really understood the meaning of the word good in its deepest sense, he is addressing the Son of God, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. No one is good but one, that is God. Why do you call me good? If you really mean what you say, then in its ultimate sense, it can only mean God. The word good here means to be intrinsically good. It means here that when Jesus speaks of himself as the Good Shepherd, it doesn't just mean that he does good, that is true. It's speaking about who he is. His character, his being, is purely good. As God is love, so God is good. And Christ, the Son of God, not only does good, he is good. And pure goodness is absolutely within his being and always has been eternally. So why is Jesus good? Because as the Son of God, he is eternally good. This is the first point to remember about Jesus. When Jesus speaks of himself as being good, we should have in mind good in its deepest possible meaning, its purest possible meaning. So when we speak about the Good Shepherd, we're speaking about Jesus as the Son of God, purely good, absolutely good, eternally good. But the second question I want to ask is, what good has Jesus done? What good has Jesus done? Well, right at the very beginning of the Word of God, in the book of Genesis, in chapter 1, we read God speaking about his creation. And we read God said, he saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. It was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So if we start at the beginning of time in creation, we learn that the Son of God with the Father and the Spirit, because God said, let us, so it's in the plural, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, created a perfect world wherein everything was good. If we turn to the first chapter of the Gospel of John, and we look in chapter 1 and verse 3. All things were made through him, and without nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And here the Word of God is speaking about Jesus Christ the Messiah, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God. Everything was good in creation. God looked upon his creation and he said it was very good. Really good. But then in addition to creating the world in which everything was good before the fall, Jesus then did something which even superabounds all actions of goodness for all times. Because having created this perfect world, the inhabitants of this world rebelled against their creator, and sin entered the world and death by sin. But Jesus, the Son of God, with the Father and the Spirit, didn't leave us to our devices and said, look, we've created this perfect world and man has rebelled, so we just leave them to their devices. This is goodness, this is love. Jesus, the Son of God, came from heaven above to live a perfect life in a world of sin. He healed the sick. He taught the great message of the gospel of God in himself, Jesus Christ, the Lord. He taught the word of God with authority. And Jesus then, the Son of God, the Good Shepherd, gave himself as the perfect sacrifice unto God the Father on behalf of needy sinners on Calvary's cross. He laid down his life for the sheep. And this totally unselfish action of absolute good enables those that trust in him this evening to receive eternal good through him. What good has Jesus done? Well, with the Father and with the Spirit, he's created a perfect world. And man rebelled against God and sin entered the world. And in his love and his goodness, the Good Shepherd has come to save his sheep. He's come to lay down his life for the sheep. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is amazing goodness. While on holiday in February, I made a Lego model of a Ferris wheel. I'm not used to making Lego models. Don't get the wrong impression that I spend my time making Lego models. But it just happened that on our way down on holiday, we stopped to see a family, and one of my granddaughters had a box of Lego with 3,000 pieces or so in it, and it was of a Ferris wheel, and was struggling to make it, and my daughter said to me, Dad, could you make this model for my daughter? And my good wife said, now you have something to do on holiday, and it was good. It took a long while, but it was a labor of love. And when I finished it, I took a picture of it and sent it on the family WhatsApp. I thought it was very good. And my granddaughter thought it was very good. Now, imagine in your mind, I speak particularly now to the children, just imagine some unkind person came, perhaps a friend or something came in, was being unkind to my granddaughter, and went into her room and broke up this Lego model to 3,000 pieces again. He just left them in a heap on the floor. And my granddaughter rang me and said, Granddad, you never guess what? My Lego model's all in pieces. And I said to my granddaughter, I'm going to get in the car and I'm going to drive all the way down to your house, and I'm not going to go to sleep till I've made that model again for you. Now you'd say that's very kind. I love my granddad for doing that. You think that's very kind, wouldn't you? Yet in a perfect and profound way, this is what the Lord Jesus has done. He's made a perfect world that was very good. And it's ruined by sin. It's fallen in iniquity. Mankind have fallen. And the creation, we are told in Scripture, is now groaning because of the problem of sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to pick up the pieces that we had made and wrecked. And Jesus came from heaven above came that it might be possible, that our lives might be rebuilt again, that our lives by sin, which are all in pieces, the Lord Jesus came to that we might be remade, that we might be made very good in the sight of God the Father through the very finished work of the Lord Jesus and his righteousness alone. Well, this is true goodness. This is what Jesus has done as the Good Shepherd. Jesus said, as the Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But then after his resurrection and ascension into heaven, the Good Shepherd in his goodness sent the Holy Spirit to this earth. And the goodness of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, is evidenced also in the work of the Holy Spirit, who points us to this Good Shepherd. The Holy Spirit is pure, and because the Holy Spirit is pure, he will only lead us to someone who is good. And if we go back to the beginning, why is Jesus good? We have to understand that the Holy Spirit will only lead us to the Good Shepherd. Because only the Good Shepherd is good enough and able enough to save us from our sins. There is only one good enough to rescue us. And so the Lord Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And the Holy Spirit has this ministry to lead us to the Good Shepherd. But the next question is, the third question is, there's just four questions, and this is the third one. What good is Jesus doing now? That's the third question. We might have thought that Jesus has already done so much good, given even his life, and suffering the eternal punishment due for the sins of all those who put their trust in him on Calvary's cross. Surely there couldn't be any more good for Jesus to do. Surely he's filled up the fullness of goodness. Well, the reality this evening is that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is still doing good. In heaven, as we speak, he's still shepherding his sheep. He's leading, he's guiding, he's interceding and speaking on behalf of all those that come unto God through him. As the children were reminded by Brother Sam, as we put our trust in Jesus Christ as their shepherd, then he'll guide us and lead us. He speaks on our behalf in heaven. And he, as the Good Shepherd, presents all who trust in him as perfectly good to the Father. He gives them his righteousness, his goodness. And so it is that we stand before the Father, pure and holy, justified, that is, made right before God by faith in the Good Shepherd and in him alone. And this is possible because of what the Good Shepherd did on earth at Calvary and what he is doing now in heaven. He is seated at the Father's right hand, and he presents us before the Father perfect. He presents their petitions perfectly. As the Good Shepherd, he presents their petitions, intercedes for us feelingly, wholeheartedly, with understanding, with compassion, in a supportive manner. And Jesus went on to say later in John chapter 10, I am the Good Shepherd, and I know my sheep. I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. And isn't that a wonderful truth this evening, that the Lord Jesus Christ knows all about you? We were reminded just now that Jesus knows our names. He knows the names of all his sheep. If we are in the family of God and we are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, he knows our names. He knows our life. He knows our inner beings. He knows your faintings, he knows your feelings, he knows your fears, he knows the food to feed you with, he knows how to guide you through the valley, ultimately to heaven itself. And he knows his sheep, and his sheep are known, and are known of mine. His sheep know their shepherd. So the Lord Jesus beckons us to the Father with a loving heart to do us good in his precious name, to obtain mercy, that God will deal with us not according to our iniquities, but according to our abundant mercy in Jesus. To obtain grace, that God will give us sustaining grace for each day according to our need. The grace of forgiveness, the grace of reconciliation, the grace of peace, the grace of strength, the grace of wisdom in Jesus Christ. Oh, let us have confidence then in our good shepherd. He's still serving his sheep. This is what Jesus is doing now. But finally this evening, what good will Jesus do in the future? We've seen what he's done in the past. We know what he's doing now. But what good will Jesus do in the future? Now, the world is not going to continue forever. There is coming a time when Jesus is coming again. And he will come as the great judge of all mankind. And he will separate the believer from the unbeliever. And Jesus said, he explained this very clearly to us, we are without excuse. He said, he will, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. So we're without excuse this evening. Jesus has told us in his word what this great day of judgment will be like. It will be the day of separation. And I want you to remember, each one of you, that you're not a Christian. You're not saved because you're in a Christian family. No one is ever born a true Christian. Jesus said, you must be born again. And one of the most fearful thoughts I ever had as a youngster, when I started to think seriously about life, and I'm the youngest of 8 children, I thought, well, if all my brothers and sisters go to heaven, and I go to hell, that will be awful. And we have to think seriously about our lives. We're not saved because we are in a Christian family. We're saved by grace and grace alone. We're saved only by trusting in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we need to think about the great day of judgment. There will be an awesome eternal separation from the believer and the unbeliever. Our greatest need this evening is, am I following the Good Shepherd? Am I looking to this good shepherd? Am I ready for the shepherd to come again at the end of the world? Can we say, Lord, come quickly? I think that's one of the most amazing prayers in the Bible. Lord, come quickly. We may say this evening, well, Lord, we're looking forward to your coming again. We, by faith, we're looking forward to your coming again. But I think I'd just like to have a little bit more life here on earth. I'd like to just finish this project, and I'd just like to see my grandchildren growing up, and I'd just like to get married and like to have a family first. And by all means, Lord, in our minds is how we think. By all means, Lord, we believe you're coming again. But don't be too quick, because we've got some things to sort out. We want to do an experience in our life here upon earth, but God doesn't work like that. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. The true prayer of faith is, Lord, come quickly. I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. That's the most profound prayer again. Can we come to that point this evening? And we can say, well, if Jesus is coming again, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Well, to those who have denied his name and rejected God in their lives, there will be an eternal banishment to hell, the place of darkness forever. But those who have received Jesus into their hearts by faith and followed him as the good shepherd, they will receive a glorious inheritance in the new heavens and the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. The Apostle Peter speaks about this when he says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, you will receive a crown of glory which fadeth not away. And there in heaven, Jesus will take care of you. Jesus is not just the good shepherd for time. He is the good shepherd for eternity, because in heaven, Jesus the good shepherd will be ever near, ever present, ever ensuring that his sheep are feeding on the most perfect pasture possible for their souls, ever sharing in his glory, ever feeding. The word of God says that Christ is the high priest of good things to come, speaking about glory. And so we look to this good shepherd this evening, not just for time. We look to him for eternity. Oh, what a blessed truth it is that he will be the good shepherd in heaven. I just want to conclude now by quoting some verses to support what I've been speaking about this evening. And each scripture includes the word good and has particular reference to God being good. And I just want you to go home this evening with this thought in your mind. God is good. Jesus is the good shepherd. The psalmist said, Psalm 86:5, for you, Lord, are good. You are ready to forgive. You are abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Oh, the Lord in his goodness is ready to forgive you. It's not that the Lord is unwilling to forgive you. The problem is not the Lord. The problem is your unbelief this evening. The problem is not the good shepherd. He's done all that he can do for the salvation of sinners. You, O Lord, are good, and you are ready to forgive, and you are abundant in mercy to all this evening, all those who call upon you, whatever background you come from this evening, whatever, however broken your life is this morning, this evening, whatever you have experienced, however much you have fallen this evening. The word of God says that God is good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. But then there's something else. Psalm 105 says that the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Oh, this goodness is eternal. And we are told to praise the Lord, for he is good. And another thing we're told in Scripture, it is good. It is good to wait upon the Lord. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. The Lord is good to the seeking soul. Are you seeking him this evening? Oh, the word of God says the Lord is good to those that wait for him, to those that seek him. And then when Jesus was born here upon earth, the angel said, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That means to us this evening. And the good tidings of great joy are centered in the very person and work of the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. And Jesus says this evening, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Let's pray together. Our great and almighty and holy Lord God, our gracious and heavenly Father, we come to thank you this evening for the wonder of your word and the wonder of the very person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. We thank you that he gave his life for the sheep. We thank you that he knows his sheep and is known by them. And we do pray that you would so graciously draw us by your Holy Spirit through the word of God, and the sovereign grace of God unto Jesus Christ as our shepherd, to look to him, to trust in him, to follow him. And we'll know, Heavenly Father, as we walk through the valley, even of the shadow of death in our lives, our shepherd is with us. He goes before us and undertakes for us. We do pray that you would seal with your blessing the ministry of this day, both morning and afternoon and evening. We thank you for the encouragements of the day. Especially we thank you for the many children that came this afternoon, the parents that gathered in, and how this chapel was full to witness, Lord, the young people, the children reading and singing, and to hear the message from the Word of God, and to the children to receive their prizes. We thank you for these encouragements and for this evening. And so at the close of this day, Heavenly Father, we bow before you, and we wish from our hearts to praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Amen.